Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the great privilege that you've given to us to be able to gather together. And Lord, I know as several are gathering online, I'm thankful for this privilege and this opportunity to be able to open up the Word of God and to be able to study it together. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us. May our Bibles be open. May our hearts be ready to be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord saith unto the church. And thank you for this opportunity now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I believe those that are here, and some are coming on late, but they're usually late to service anyway, so I'm not going to say anything about that. But some things never change, whether you're at home in your pajamas. And you can see I'm taking this seriously, and I do have my shirt and tie on. I am fully dressed for going to church tonight, and it was just a little bit weird just coming down to the kitchen. And so let's take our Bibles, open up to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1, as we're continuing verse by verse as we go throughout the book of Colossians. And last week we were in the prayer of thankfulness that as we looked in Colossians 1, where he said in verse number 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints." And just to recap what we looked at last Thursday night is that the great characteristics that the Apostle Paul had for the saints here at Colossae was he was thanking the Lord for them. We see his commitment to his prayer life when he said, "Since we heard of your faith." And so that challenged us in our responsibility and our privilege to be able to pray for new converts and to be able to pray for those that we've heard have gotten saved, be able to disciple them, be able to spend time with them in the Word of God. And so it encouraged us, but then also the characteristics of their life. Paul said that since we heard of your faith and your love, and isn't it a blessing that that we can look at verse number 5 as characteristics for us, that we ought to have our faith, our continual faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we ought to be identified, even according to 1 John, where it says, "You know that you're my disciples if you keep my commandments and you love the brethren." And so those things are faithfulness to God and also our love for the brethren. That ought to identify us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God. And so that's what Paul was thanking them for here, and thanking God for, really, as we look down through it. Now we're going to look at verses, starting in verses 5 and 6 this evening. If we come back and look at the punctuation, beginning in verse number 3, he says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Well, then there's a comma, there's a separate clause that is in there. And then we can jump down after that comma to verse number 5. So really, if you read it, coming down through, it says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," verse 5, "for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." And I want you to see this. This is the third thing that the Apostle Paul is thanking God for in relation to the saints there at Colossae. He said he's thanking them for their love, for their faith in the Lord Jesus, for their love which they have to all the saints, and then third of all, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And so we see this faith, love, and hope, as we have listed here, the three things that the Apostle Paul is thanking God for in the lives of the saints there at Colossae. And I want you to see something about this hope. Because when we look at the subject matter of hope today, we think of just a hope of something that may take place. But actually, if you go back and look in Noah Webster's dictionary, the second definition in the spiritual sense of a hope that we have, it is actually confidence in a future event. So we see this confidence in a future event, and what Paul is saying to the saints here at Colossae, he's saying, "I'm thanking God for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Now, so many times, and I understand this, but let me finish this statement first. So many times We're hearing nowadays that, when someone gets saved, it ought not to always be about just them going to heaven. And I understand that. We have our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise the Lord that I'm saved today. I'm no longer under the penalty of sin. I have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been reconciled to God the Father because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. But one of the first things that the Apostle Paul is saying here, he says, I'm thanking God for your faith, for your love, and for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So at some point in the message that Epaphras gave to these citizens down in Colossae was about what was waiting for them in heaven, in the life to come. We're reminded of this again when you get back into the book of Philippians, as Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians, when he reminds them in chapter number 1 of Philippians that their citizenship, chapter number 3, that their citizenship is not of this world, but their citizenship is in heaven. And so even from the first century preachers, there was a reminder, an encouragement, and a blessing that they were looking for something other than this life. And so they knew, because of their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not just something that maybe will happen one day. It's not just something that it might happen, it might not happen. When the Apostle Paul is thanking for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, he's reminding the saints at Colossae, listen, the condition that they're in, the financial condition, whether it be the economical situation that they're in, whatever it may be, the Apostle Paul is thanking God for the hope that's waiting for them. That confidence in a future event, that no matter where we are at today, no matter what has taken place in our lives, and I believe it's great timing. Now listen, I'm not here to preach a message tonight or give a Bible study on the subject matter of the coronavirus, and seems like, and praise the Lord for pastors and preachers that are following the leadership of the Lord in what is being preached, but I do believe it's great timing that we can be reminded tonight, because as the Apostle Paul thanked God for the hope that is laid up for the saints at Colossae, may I remind us tonight, according to verse number 5, that we can be thanking God for the hope that is laid up for us that is waiting in heaven. God is no respecter of persons, and so the exact same thing that the Colossae Christians had waiting for them is the same thing that we have waiting for us today. We have confidence in a future event that is laid up for us in heaven. Now understand this, it is something that is laid up for them in heaven. So when we look at this, the hope is not heaven. You understand that? The hope is laid up in heaven. So as we look at this subject matter of what the hope is, and I'm so thankful for the hope that is given to us, may I remind us that I believe this hope is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for what is laid up for us, that ability to be able to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. As Paul said back in Philippians chapter number 3, that he's pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so as we begin to look at what Paul is thanking God for, he thanks him for their faith, for their love, and then for the hope that is laid up for him, that we have more in heaven that is waiting for us than what we have down here on this earth. And I'm so thankful for that privilege that God's given to us. And listen, I don't believe we ought to just cast that off to the side. I don't believe we ought to just take that lightly, especially in the day and age that we're living in and living through right now at this point. I'm so thankful that we have the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Now, part of that hope is heaven, but the hope that is laid up is forever to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And so we're so thankful for that. Now let's keep reading, because what the Apostle Paul does in a lot of his writings, and you'll see a pattern that begins to develop here in chapter number 1, because he says about the hope which is laid up for us in heaven, But then he says, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Okay? Then he goes in to explain some about the gospel. Then he goes in, after you've heard of it, he goes into who have you heard of this gospel. And so he goes into Epaphras, and then he goes into his prayer request, and then he builds one off another. So you may make a statement, and then he builds off that statement as he's coming down through. So I want you to see this. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, as I looked at this phrase of Scripture, and we're really just going to be looking at these couple verses this evening in Bible study as we're coming down through. But and I sure hope you have your Bibles out right now. And I hope you're not just walking around the house and have this church time in the background. Can I just encourage us right now that I hope we're focused in on this. And I hope we got our Bibles open. I hope we got our pen and papers. And we're taking some notes. We're ready for some prayer requests. And so let's focus back in, okay? And so he says here, the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before. Now, when I looked at this subject matter of the word heard, okay, someone had to come and tell them. And I thought about the completeness of our gospel message. Now, the truth of the gospel, as it's mentioned here at the end of verse number 5 in Colossians 1, Colossians 1, 5, when it says, before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, we can take it to the bank tonight that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, is an absolute truth that we have. Now, it is none other than the truth of the gospel that someone has to hear and someone has to believe and apply to their heart and life. It is the truth of the gospel that has to be applied to someone's heart and life for them to be able to start their relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so when we look at this subject matter, the truth of the gospel, you know how many people today, as you begin to explain the gospel to them, and just as a cross-reference, you could go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where it says, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Jesus died according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I want to remind us, there's an entire world that's around us that they believe that the gospel is none other than a fairy tale. It is none other than a fiction account of a good man that died on the cross and then his body disappeared. They don't believe it to be anything other than that. And may I remind us, as Paul is reminding the saints here at Colossae, it is the truth of the gospel. And I believe he's telling Christians that, listen, as Epaphras went down and was able to preach in the city of Colossae, and then he came back and he's now reporting back to the Apostle Paul and saying, hey, what great things the Lord hath done down there, the souls that were saved, the church that was established down there, the saints that are meeting probably most likely in Philemon's house. He's reminding them, saints, listen, I want you to know what you have heard and what you have believed is the truth of the gospel. It is the truth. It's not fairy tales. Now listen, these were Gentiles. There were a few Jews that were living up there in that tri-city area between Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. History tells us, if you go and research it, maybe 10 to 12,000 Jews that were living up in that area. But he was reminding them, what you've heard is the truth. Now, may I remind each and every one of us tonight that what we have heard and what we have believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute truth that will change our eternal destiny forever. I know that's redundant. Our eternal destiny forever, it's changed. And that is the truth. You say, well, how do I know that? How do I understand? And how can I believe that? We believe that because it's right here in the Bible. And the Bible is our absolute truth. That's where we learn about the gospel. That's where we know that it's true. And Paul is reminding and encouraging these saints here at Colossae. He said, listen, I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. I'm thanking God for the hope which is laid up for you. And how'd you hear about that hope? You heard about it in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now, I want you to see this because he takes it a step further and takes it beyond their salvation experience, okay? And I have experienced salvation. Isn't that a blessing? Praise the Lord. And I know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. But when we have our faith, the love, the hope of what's laid up for us in heaven, he says down here in verse number 6, and we see the extent of the gospel during this first century when you had believers that they knew where they came from. They appreciated the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ had done for them. Look what he says in verse number 6, which is come unto you. Boy, can I pause right there, and how many of you would say amen for the day that the gospel, the truth of the gospel, came unto you? You know, there was a day that you might not have been looking for God, but God was looking for you. And I'm so thankful for the day. And here Paul is reminding these saints at Colossae, the truth of the gospel, it's come unto you. And if we're listening and watching tonight, or you may be watching this later on as you go back and catch different church services and Bible studies, we ought to thank God that the gospel came unto us. And we ought to be praising the Lord on a daily basis that it is so true that when we might not have been looking for God, God was looking for us, and the gospel came our way. And praise God for that, okay? Which is coming to you as it is in all the world. This is the same group that back in Acts, the pagans said and the heathens said that these that have turned the world upside down with their gospel is now come unto us. And so the gospel is going out across the known world. This is up into Asia Minor now, and as it is in all the world. And look at these four words, and I circled them in my Bible by way of importance for me to go back and look at it, because we're talking about the truth of the gospel now. The Bible says that this truth of the gospel has come unto them. It bringeth forth fruit, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. Now, as we look at this, that it is bringing forth fruit, understanding that when the gospel, the truth of the gospel, when it finds a lodging place in our hearts, may I say this, it is going to take root and it is going to bring forth fruit. It's going to. It is inevitable that when the gospel takes root in our lives, it's inevitable that there are going to be results from that. There's a new desire. There's a new direction. There's a new destination. Hey, isn't that a great three-point alliteration right there? And all because of the fruit of the gospel that is taking place in our lives. The truth of the gospel. Now, we can go back to John 15 and the fruit afterwards. As far as if we abide in Him, His Word abides in us, we bring forth fruit. We're looking for fruit that remains. And I'm so thankful for all of that. I'm so thankful. Now, listen, we understand if we're saved and on our way to heaven, there's going to be a difference. There's going to be the fruit of the gospel. If we're walking in the Spirit, listen, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But doesn't that talk to us about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, you can list them down through. The fruit of the gospel, listen, they were living in a day and age, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, committed your life over to Him, it made a difference. But can I say it hasn't changed today? We know Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what that is? That is the fruit of the gospel. That is the results of that. That is something that is showing on the outside, that is taking place on the inside. And so this truth of the gospel that has lodged in our hearts, and Paul is thanking God for the Colossae saints that, listen, the truth of the gospel has come unto you as it is in all the world, and it bringeth forth fruit. Now, here's where that's an encouragement to me. Not only in my own life can I see the fruit of the gospel, or I should be seeing the fruit of the gospel taking place, but also that gives me the encouragement that if I take the gospel to those that are around me, guess what? The gospel is going to bring forth fruit. Now we know that the word of God will not return unto him void. But I'm thankful that God gives us fruit, and we have fruit that remains from being able to spread the gospel to those that are around us. So not only does the fruit bring forth in my life, but I also see the fruit of the gospel as we take it out, and as we spread the gospel, as we're able to see people saved, we're able to see their lives changed, and what the truth of the gospel does, we're able to see that fruit. We don't see all of it, and I understand that. Only heaven's going to show us all of that fruit from the gospel. But I am thankful that the truth of the gospel brings forth fruit. Now look at this. You say, how long is it before we see fruit? Now, Paul said to the saints here at Colossae, he says it bringeth forth fruit as it does also in, doth also in you. And here's where he gave the timeline. Since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Do you understand that from the moment that we hear the gospel and we believe the gospel and we apply it to our hearts and lives, since that day, there ought to be fruit of the gospel in our lives? You say, well, not everything's changed in my life. Well, maybe your desires have changed. Maybe you're not as perfect as you desire to be. And I know we're not as perfect as we think we are. But yet, at least a different desire. At least a different direction that we're walking. And yes, there's still stumbling and there's still falling and things that are taking place in our lives. But can I say this? What's an encouragement is day after day after day, we can see and we can know the fruit of the gospel in our lives. That conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. That conviction that when there is sin in our lives, listen, before we were saved, you could sin with no Holy Ghost conviction whatsoever. You say, oh no, I felt bad about it. That was just morality that was saying you ought not to be doing some things. May I remind us, once we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, it's not just a moral compass, but it is that spiritual compass on whether we are living right or not living right. And even that conviction of sin is fruit of the gospel being applied to our hearts and lives. And so I'm so thankful. And let's read verses 5 and 6 again. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You ought to be thanking God tonight for the day you heard it, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. What great principles just in those two verses. Let me share just a couple more thoughts, and then we're going to go into our prayer time this evening, give some prayer requests here in just about 5 minutes. But when it says they knew of the grace of God, we'd gone back and we had given the salutation in verse number 2, and I believe this, that one of the greatest expressions of love that we can ever bestow upon someone is to wish the grace of God upon someone else. Because the grace of God is one of the greatest expressions of love that God ever showed to us. Because anything that God does for us is completely undeserved. We shouldn't have it in our lives. And he said this, can you imagine how it was? You should be able to, because it ought to be the same way in our hearts and lives. Imagine how it was for the Colossae believers, those citizens up there in that city. The Bible says that gospel brought forth fruit when they knew of the grace of God. You remember the day when you understood? And I know we're not full comprehension today. But you remember when it was that the grace of God settled into our hearts and lives? And we began to comprehend it. We began to know it. We began to understand it. And it just continues to grow sweeter because we understand on a regular basis that we're not deserving of it. And he said, this has brought forth fruit since you knew of the grace of God. And I want you to see in verse number 7, I want you to know that Epaphras, when he went down to Colossae, Epaphras was a grace preacher. Because he said, when you heard of the grace of God, as ye also learned of Epaphras. Epaphras went down and declared to the citizens of Colossae the good grace of God. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, Epaphras, by name, we only have him mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. We have him here in Colossians 1, and I believe over in chapter number 4. Then we have him in Philemon. And some try to say that back in Philippians chapter 4 that Epaphras may be the Epaphroditus that the Apostle Paul talks about also. That could be. But by name Epaphras, we have him 3 times here. We have the fruit of his preaching, of going down into the city of Colossae and being able to declare the grace of God to those that were lost and without Christ. Can I say this? I want to be a grace preacher. I'm not talking about a grace preacher that gives the grace and the liberty to be able to sin. I'm talking about a grace preacher of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that the grace of God and the gospel of God brings fruit in my life. And the grace that the Colossae Christians had was a grace that brought forth fruit, not a liberty to sin. But the grace that they had brought forth a difference in their life that made a difference to all those that were around them. He said a couple things about Epaphras here. Number one, he was a faithful minister of Christ. Let me ask you something. Besides starting and preaching here in Colossae and seeing these souls saved in Colossae, we don't have any other record of what Epaphras did as far as preaching the gospel. We know he was a minister and a fellow prisoner, fellow servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Apostle Paul. But let me ask you something. I wonder if it could be said of each and every one of us in Colossians 1. I wonder if we could follow the example of Epaphras and be called a faithful minister of Christ. A faithful minister. He was faithful because he, number one, declared the grace of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse number 8, he also declared unto us, Paul said, your love in the Spirit. Boy, he came back and he was telling the Apostle Paul, he was saying, let me tell you what's going on down there in Colossae. And boy, you need to understand, boy, they love you, Paul. They love each other. They love the children of God. They love the brethren. And I want to be one that can be declared as a as a faithful minister. Excuse me. As a faithful minister of Christ. I want to be able to be declared as one who preaches the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one who tells others about the love of the brethren. And that's who Epaphras was. And so as we look down through, and we're just getting through verse number 8 tonight, and next Thursday night we'll pick up on verse number 9, going through our midweek service. And but I want to remind us, the grace of God bringeth forth fruit. The hope which is laid up for us in heaven, the rewards that are there, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will forever be able to be with Him. What great hope we have. The confidence of a future event that's going to take place. And I wonder who in our lives could say, if you started witnessing to them, we could say, yeah, you've heard of this from so-and-so, because they declared unto you the grace of God. And so, Granite State Baptist, I know several others are watching here with us, but I want to encourage us in the hope that's laid up for us in heaven, of the grace of God that brings forth fruit in our lives since the day we heard it. And then, why don't we be like Epaphras? And why don't we be declared as a minister of Christ and be able to declare the love of the saints to others that are around us. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share some prayer requests for our church folks, okay? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for our midweek service and our prayer time that we'll have. And Lord, I know as we're doing it over the internet, and several are watching. I'm not sure who's on YouTube right now, who's on Facebook. But Lord, just a privilege to be able to come together. And Lord, as we continue our study, as we've just begun the past month, Lord, in the book of Colossians, I pray that you'd help us as we look down through here, verse by verse, and chapter by chapter, and that you'd share some great truths with us. And so, Lord, would you be with your church, and Lord, with each and every one of us, keep us safe, watch over us now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right.